Welcome to Charity Connect Podcast. This is a podcast that connects donors and donees, NGOs and volunteers, and publicizes charity works and events. My name is Shola Matthew, and I am your host. Right now, I have a very special guest on our show, and she's very beautiful. Oh God, you need to see her. The first time I saw her picture smiling, you know, I was so thrilled. She is the convener at Demystify Abuse Campaign. She's also a writer. And today, as I said, I'm not alone. I'm with a guest, a very special one. It's Maureen Aliko. Please, can you say hi to our listeners?
Hello to everyone. Good to be here. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you very, very much. I would like to go straight to the point. You know, you were a victim of sexual abuse, incest, and rape. Can you share the experience with us?
Okay. The sexual abuse part came happened when I was about 10, 11, after my parents separated. Yeah.
Wow.
I was taken to go live with my grandparents.
Okay.
And of course, my grandparents, I had my uncles also living at the family house. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, first experience was my uncle, my father's younger brother.
Hmm.
Yeah. He sexually abused me. But of course, I was young. I didn't know what he was doing was wrong.
Hmm.
That's the point to change me. I didn't tell anyone, not even my mom, not even my dad.
Hmm.
You know, towards the end of my secondary education,
yeah,
that was when someone got the courage to tell my stepmom because it was quite clear at that point. And I was affected emotionally, and I couldn't. My first experience of the sexual abuse happened is my uncle, living in my grandparents' house after my parents died.
Okay.
Well, at night, I was sleeping, he was sneaking to our room and doing a couple of things. I couldn't tell anyone at that point, but yes, I didn't understand what was going on. I wasn't exposed to sexual education in any way. I didn't know that what he was doing was bad. So he continued for a while. And one day, I think I got angry. So I had to stop it. I told him,
Wow.
And on the 16th of November 2016, that was last year.
Okay.
Armed robbers broke into my house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So after taking everything they collected, my tablet, my other phones, my friend, a friend of mine was at home that night. They also collected her phone and all of it, collected some cash and everything they knew they could collect. And the next thing I heard, the other man pointed at me and my friend. They were telling them, next to my head was shit. I started crying, started begging. I told them I won't be next for stuff like this to happen to me a second time that I've been sexually abused before.
Tonight,
I was alongside my friend.
Just
crazy for the experience.
That was awful experience, if I could say. With all this, how were you able to overcome the stigmatization? The all these things. You know, how were you able to overcome and still come out strong like this?
Come at that point.
Okay.
The first time we met, of course, we met still, we had experienced the same kind of thing. We thought that we did the strength. I thought we did the strength that they don't care, my everyday life, I had to do the same thing. But if you don't understanding of what life was, that pain and hardship was completely with you along the way, so didn't handle the matter. So I think I'm without a knowledge, there was no way I could let the contestation affect me.
No
at
way.
That point, I just knew. I knew at that point, yeah, after the stuff happened,
yeah,
I knew there was, because I've gotten to be myself from before, based on the first friends I had.
Okay.
So I knew there was no way I could let myself be affected by stigmatization. So that was it. I just, at that point, I knew I had to just move on, because this is life. And then like I've been preparing for all these events.
Yeah.
So I just didn't even think about it until a lot of people started mentioning that stigma, all of it. All of that, I had to
Wow, that sounds very, very great, really. But to our listeners, what do you think they can do to, for example, some people have been actually been into all this sexual abuse and all that. What do you think they can do to overcome this?
What do you make up your mind that you're not going to let this thing affect you? It won't affect you. Sometimes we let things happen around us affect us so much. Meanwhile, we have the switch somewhere in our head, so we can just tell ourselves, no, this is not going to affect me, it won't affect me. You make up your mind, just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to keep this behind me. I am going to forgive anyone that has hurt me. If you have to read books, you have to read books. If you have, of course, you have to talk about the experience. You have to be able to share it with a couple of people. You have to be open about it. There's no need hiding. There's no need hiding behind. Your life has not ended outside. So once you make up your mind that you're not going to let it affect you, you start talking about your experience. You look for a couple of people who have the same experience you've gone through. You share it with them. You also share that with you. You encourage yourself, and you'll be good to go.
Oh yes. I read your blog where you said you share a gospel of forgiveness, but not without making a distinction between it and justice. What is the difference between the two, that is justice and forgiveness, in your own terms?
Okay. You know, most times when we hear people say you can forgive, a lot of people believe that, okay, once you forgive the person, that the person doesn't have to deserve justice for the crime they've committed. You can forgive the person.
Okay.
Let them go. But if you want the law to take its course, if you know the abuse or the witness, and you want to report them to the law, it's your choice. You know you've forgiven them for what they did to you,
It's
cleared your heart, it's cleared your conscience. But because you know that if that person is not prosecuted, that person might go on harming other people.
So true.
So you have to report them to whoever is in charge. You have to sue them to court. You have to sue them to court. Now, not because of you anymore, but because you're trying to safeguard other people from going through what you've gone through. Because not everyone might be as strong as you are
to
handle it. Yeah, so that's why.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
What is Demystify Abuse campaign? I know that you run a campaign about demystifying abuse. So what is it about?
Okay. The morning the robots came into my house, I was, based on the experience I had as a child, I've been nursing the idea of running a foundation where I get to speak with victims of rape, victims of sexual abuse and molestation and all of it. I've always nursed the idea. I said I was going to push it. That's going to be one of the things I'll do in my life. So on the 15th of November, I made a post on social media and I asked for a graphic designer. I needed someone to help me design the logo of the foundation, which I had already given a name.
Okay.
In August, yeah. In August, August last year, that was when the name came up. In November, I decided, okay, I needed to start because I was hearing a lot about rape, and how it was affecting people. So I wanted to be able to learn my voice. That was before my own incident.
Okay.
So that 15th, a friend of mine contacted a friend of mine. He helped me design the logo and all of it. And he sent it to me. 15 minutes after he sent me the logo on WhatsApp, that was when the robbers broke into my house.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, okay, this is forces. Forces were fighting against me, running the foundation.
Mm.
So the morning after the robbers left, so I asked myself a couple of questions. I was like, okay, now you know that there are forces fighting this foundation. What would you do? I asked myself if I was going to let the pain or if I was going to let that incident stop me from pushing the foundation. Hell no. I am stubborn, and stubbornness had to show at that point.
Wow.
So I had a talk with a very special someone. I told him, okay, this is what I wanted. Of course, he knew about it. But when I told him what happened that night, and then the morning I told him I wanted to run, I wanted to launch the foundation. He was like, no, won't you wait? This stuff happened to you yesterday, and this morning you want to launch the foundation. You get to heal first. And then, for God's sake, I am fine. The only thing I need to do is just to take my drug. And then if I don't launch this foundation, only God knows how many people's lives will be damaged. So let's keep this thing rolling.
Wow.
So I launched the foundation, and basically what the foundation is about is getting to talk to victims, people who have gone through the experience before, and tell them there is life after rape, that their life doesn't end, they can still do life normally. And of course, as a part of it, they will go to secondary schools and talk to young people, those of them who have been abused and those who also have not been abused, tell them that should they be in a position where they know someone who has been raped or abused, or if they are in that position too, they should learn how to talk about it. They should stop hiding, because society, of course, I don't blame them. Society has a way of making people shut up because they believe that once you get raped, it's your fault. They take the blame away from the rapist. So, of course, you just tell people that if you were raped, you don't have to be quiet about it. You come out openly and say, yes, it wasn't your fault. And then also get to teach boys, also get skills too, not to rape other people because it's not okay. Yeah, so while we do all of that, then we still get to donate books.
Okay.
If we're going to schools, we donate books, stationaries, and all of that. Sometimes we go to neighborhoods, we give much more than books, we give clothes, we give everything we have in our possession. So basically, the most important thing is sharing the gospel against rape, letting the society know that rape is bad, telling people to stop it, and if anyone has been a victim, you have to tell them that their life doesn't end. So that's what the Mystifier of this campaign is all about.
Wow, that's a very beautiful and nice campaign. I don't know.
Thank you.
What do you think, ladies, because I know that guys too can be raped, but what do you think what we can do to prevent this rape?
Okay, the most important thing here, there has to be a mind shift. There has to be a mindset shift.
Okay.
Our society has a warped understanding of sex. Our society have a wrong understanding of consent and all of it. We have to begin to see sex in a different light. We have to begin to see human beings much more than sex objects.
Okay.
Those are the foundations. Because we reduce human beings to just sex objects. So once you see them, the first thing that comes to our mind is how they will look or how they will be on bed and all of it. So we have to try as much as possible to change this mentality. The problem is not that sometimes people say, when you dress, that you are attracted with it. So, of course, there are a lot of people who do not dress in skimpy attire that get raped. for example, me, I was in my house when the rapist came and I didn't attract them. So who is going to blame me? Are they going to say, okay, maybe I look for someone's trouble? No. Mm. It's a mindset thing. We have to change the way we see sex. We have to change the way we see human beings. Mm. We have to see human beings as valuable.
Yeah.
Not just as objects that we can toy with or have sex with. That's basically the foundation. Wow. And then, of course, sex education, we have to hammer on that. We have to hammer on that. We also have to hammer on consent. We have to let people know that, okay, if someone says no, no is no. Even if the person says this in a very light way, no is no.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much. What has been your challenges with Demystify Abuse Campaign? What have been your challenges in running this organization?
The major challenge so far when we go to visit some of the schools we go to.
Okay.
The materials we have usually do not go around. Yeah, because people make donations.
Okay.
Friends send in donations. Yeah, so we need to buy everything we need to buy. So sometimes we get to experience shortage.
Okay.
Some of the students do not get, some of the teachers too who want to receive some of the books we come with, it doesn't get to them. So that's basically like the challenge. That's the only challenge I see. I don't see any other challenge.
Okay. All right. Do you welcome new members on board to Demystify Abuse Campaign?
Of course. Of course.
So where and how can people contact you?
Okay, there's a blog for it. I have a blog, www.demystifyabuse.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And then this phone number is the phone number you can send your name and your location to.
Wow, okay.
0815-6614-213. You can send your name and your location.
Okay, please, can you repeat that phone number?
0815-6614-213.
Okay.
You can send your name and your location. And it was to get your name and your location.
Okay.
Again, when we get something, we'll find out what areas we want to volunteer. And then we're on Facebook. The Demystify Abuse Campaign, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Yeah.
All right. That is very, very beautiful. That is just the end of this section with you, but I do have another section, which is my listeners section. And
okay.
I have two people ask me questions already for you. And
okay.
The first person is Iwalewa, and she said, how did you feel losing your virginity? That is if you were one to a commoner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. From what I said before, I lost my virginity to my uncle, not to the rapist who raped me last year.
Okay.
I lost my virginity to my uncle. Yeah. So how did they make me feel? Sad.
Oh my God.
You know, growing up, I always had this dream of, when I grow old, I'm going to keep my virginity and give it to my husband on our wedding night or so. And then someone comes and steals it away from me. Of course, I felt really bad. I felt, this is sad. That was when I got to know that I had lost my virginity. I felt really terrible.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the last question here came from Ola. I think I asked this question before. And how did you overcome the stigmatization?
I told myself, okay.
Okay, you can answer that.
I just told myself I won't let it affect me. I'm just going to live my life in spite of whatever people are saying. And that's when it. So if I'm somewhere and people are pointing fingers at me, I said, I guess she was raped. I don't hear it. I don't care. I just live my life.
Wow.
Yes.
I must say that, Maureen, you are such a strong and beautiful lady. Seriously.
Thank you. I believe everybody is strong. We just have to be that strength. That's what I believe. Everybody is strong, but of course, we are at different levels of our strength. So we just have to keep building it.
That's true. That's so true. Okay, this is the last section, and I call this my section. So in this section, you have the right to ask me only one question. So I'll be listening to you while you ask me the question now, and I'll answer you sincerely.
I have to ask one question. What question?
Okay.
Okay, let me ask.
All right.
At what point did you decide that you were going to do this?
At what point
did you decide that this is what you want to do with your life?
With my life?
Yes.
Wow. That question is very, very, you know, it's a very vast question.
Yeah.
So, but while I was growing up, actually, I've been having several decisions with my life. But basically, I think was when I was at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the university, I just found this call from, you know, from within, from God, that I should start a foundation, which is Christian Charity Network, and where we visit orphanages, we take donations, we take them to orphanages and all that. So since then, my life has been patterned towards charity.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can say that basically I started, I had that decision when I was in 200 level. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I hope you are satisfied with my answer.
Yeah, of course I am.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Maureen, for coming on this show. I don't know, maybe you have any advice for the youth outside there before we leave the show today.
Your purpose, are you chasing your purpose? There is nothing as beautiful as walking in line with your purpose. It gives you direction, it helps you make decisions, it helps you sideline a lot of things, and it helps you know what to do at each point. It helps you know, okay, this is what I want, this is what I do, this is who I want to do it with. This is my definition of success. This is my definition of fulfillment. So, just a life of purpose. That's the most important thing I have to say to young people.
Wow, wow. Thank you very, very much, Maureen Aliko. I hope I'm correct with my pronunciation.
It's Aliko.
Aliko.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Maureen Aliko, for coming on the show today. We hope that next time when we call you, you're going to answer us.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure talking to you.
You're most welcome. I really appreciate what you are doing, and we pray that God will continue to sustain you. Thank you very much, and have a very beautiful time over there.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen.
All right, before I go, last week I received an email from one Emmanuel Deborah. She said she is in need of financial support. She finished from ND last year at Rivers Giwa Polytechnic Owo, that's in Nigeria. And she said she's yet to pay for her second year's school fees. And the school fees, according to her, is 54,000 naira. If I were to calculate that in dollars, it should be around $150. So please, if you are listening to me on this episode and you really want to help, please don't hesitate. You can call me on +234 81 39 24 42 43, or you can send the money directly into my account number 30454425 41 30454425 41. The account name is Akinlui Shola Matthew, and is a First Bank account. I pray that the Lord will bless you even as you help.
Let's not forget, we also accept Bitcoin payment, so you can find the Bitcoin address on our website.
Right now, there's a campaign going on in Christian Charity Network called Back to School. So if you have school materials, used textbooks, or you have money to donate so that we can send back these children to school, please, you can also contact me on my number, or you send an email directly to us. You can visit ChristianCharityNetwork.com for more information. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Charity Connect Podcast. You can like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/CharityConnectPodcast. Also, follow at Shola Matthew on Twitter and at Shola_Matthew on Instagram. See you on the next episode.